Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, something is going on, and it is not good. More and more spectators are becoming part of the show. What do we mean by that? At public events, athletes and entertainers have become targets of physical abuse. Within the last week, Dave Chappelle was attacked on stage. A top NBA player's family was physically accosted and harassed in the stands. Fans throwing things, even spitting on athletes. And of course, though not a fan attacking an entertainer, the Will Smith attack on Chris Rock at the Oscars may have given fans encouragement to act out. Tonight, experts will share what is behind the aggression against public figures and if anything can be done to curb it. Our guest tonight, Dr. Jonathan Shepherd. He's a psychiatrist, Charmel McMillan, entertainment executive and president of Chartown Entertainment, and comedian Steve Brown. And you, the phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you, your questions, your comments about all that's going on that we're seeing and hearing. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And when I mean seeing and hearing about what's happening in terms of entertainers, athletes, why is this happening? Have you seen it happen in events that you've gone to? And do you see it as being out of the ordinary? And what can we do about it? Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. As we get started, we wanted to hear from Steve Brown. Steve is a comedian, and it is 2022, but back in 2018, and Steve will correct me if I have the date wrong, he was accosted while on stage down south, where someone came on stage and came at him. And Steve, I kind of want you to tell us, give us a sort of a synopsis of what happened and how you felt and reacted to what was going on.
Well, first off, thanks for having me on the show. And I know that this is a high-quality show because you used the word like accosted instead of attacked. So, yeah, we this is some real high-quality stuff we are part of, and I appreciate you having me a part of it.
We try,
Steve. Well, anyway, and thank you hello to all the guests on the show. But anyway, 2018, I'm doing my show. All my shows were sold out. I got to say that, of course, for my ego. And this guy, he was sitting on the second row enjoying the show. I mean, thoroughly enjoying the show. I don't know what was – I know I didn't address him or anything. He didn't address me. And next thing I know, he stands up. He's looking like – often like as if he's looking towards me but behind me. I think his girl – she went to check on him, I guess, and he turns around and he socks her. So now people are trying to jump in. He pushed his mom down, all fighting everybody. The one security guard they had, he came in. He got knocked down in a way. He's an older guy. Guy turns, me. He comes to the stage. I'm thinking that maybe security would have grabbed him, thank God that I do the boxing thing. You know, I try to stay in shape. And pretty much I had to put those skills into use as far as just keeping them off me and keeping them away from me and being elusive enough so he wouldn't hit me.
What I saw on that video, Steve, is first of all, you being able to move because he picked up the mic stand
right. And
was swinging the mic stand, which obviously can be a lethal weapon. So to me, what I saw was very scary moment. He picked up, I guess, a stool that you were sitting on, threw that at you.
Right.
And it seemed like no one really came to your rescue until the gentleman, at least at some point, dropped the mic stand. And then a couple of people, I guess, charged the stage to grab him. Were you looking for help?
Well, actually, I didn't want to hit him, which he left himself wide open. And because I didn't want to, end up with any type of negative image or whatever, or get sued or whatever. So, I worked to keep him off me. Him throwing the mic stand and the mic stand breaking and the bass hit the wall and hit somebody in the audience. So, I think several people went to the hospital. And then, to me, when he threw the bar stool and he hit me with the bar stool, It was like he snapped out of it and walked off like nothing happened. You know what I'm saying? And that's when people, you know, came and grabbed me and they, you know, they took me to the green room or whatever. But it was just really a shocking, isolated incident. And I just really believe that psychologically people are forgetting that they are spectators and they are wanting to be a part of what's really happening in reality. And I don't know what it is, but that's just the way it is now. You know, the thing with Chris Rock and Will Smith, I love both of them, but unfortunately it happened, and what it did was open up a doorway for this stuff to happen even more, you know, because you got to understand something. Will Smith is a role model, a positive role model, and people love role models, and people are going to emulate what they see out of their from their role models. And this guy who attacked Dave Chappelle, he waited until a really big night to do his thing. And then you got to look at this, too. People are also addicted to likes and validation on social media.
Excellent.
We're always looking for something to get some type of attention on social media or whatever, and that's something that's really, really big, you know, as far as what people are doing now when they're attacking people on stage.
All right. Well, Steve, thank you so much for joining us. Glad you're safe. Glad you have the skills to dodge when you have to. And we just appreciate you being with us, and best of luck in everything you do and all of your comedic and boxing skills. Hopefully you don't have to use those. Just stick to being a comedian, because I can already tell you're funny. But thank you so much, Steve, for being with us.
Thank y'all for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about has spectators really become part of the show, how that can be dangerous, and where is all of this coming from? You heard from a comedian who was attacked several years ago on stage, and his comments about what he thinks is happening. We'd like to hear from you. Also joining us tonight, as I mentioned a little earlier, Dr. Jonathan Shepherd. He's a psychiatrist, and Charmel McMillan, entertainment executive and president with Chartown Entertainment. Dr. Shepherd, we heard what Steve Brown, the comedian, said about what's happening. What's your take on what is going on here, not just only with Chappelle and comedian Brown and Will Smith, but as I mentioned earlier, these athletes, Chris Paul, the player for the Phoenix Suns, his family in the stands, they're being harassed. Someone put their hands allegedly on Chris Paul's mother while she was in the stands watching the game. What's your take on what's going on? Is this abnormal, and why is it happening in your opinion?
Yeah, well, good evening, everyone, and thank you for this opportunity to be on the show. And I just want to say what Steve Brown stated was excellent, because it laid a wonderful foundation for what is happening in our country. Is it abnormal? Yes. If you say and you look at how we should be conducting ourselves, yes. But actually, it does make sense. So you might say, well, how is something abnormal but yet makes sense? Is because the pandemic has caused what I call the three A's. We've seen an increase in anger, anxiety, and apathy. Apathy is just another word for saying lack of motivation. And the biggest one of those three A's, in my opinion, is the anger. People's fuses are shorter than ever before. So that means that what it may have taken 2 minutes for somebody to get upset, it just takes 2 seconds. And the pandemic has just really unleashed this ability for people just to go from 0 to 100 in a matter of seconds. It's very scary. You can't even drive a car here in the DMV area.
Mm-hmm.
It might cut you off.
Right.
And you might get shot and killed, literally, because people's anger and their fuse is just so short. He also said something that was really profound, and I talked about this earlier with the producer. People want to be a part of the show. That is so true. You know, look at video games. Video games today are so lifelike that people actually believe they are part of the game, that they're part of what they're playing. And so now when people's fuses are shorter, people are more anxious, people are more apathetic, which means they really don't care. So they're angry and don't care. That's a lethal mix. And so now when something happens, you might say something that just sets them off and they're ready to swing on you. I look at even with Will Smith, it looked like he was laughing at the joke when it first was made, but it switched in such a quick second. I was like, wait a minute, is this part of the show? I had no clue what was going on as I watched it in real time.
You and millions, really, millions of others, Dr. Shepard, I think many were thinking the same thing. Is it real? Because it seems so surreal, and we know there's a lot of chaos going on out in the world and the community, but you don't expect to see that at an event like we saw with the Oscars. And Shamel McMillan, entertainment executive and president of Chartown Entertainment, you heard Dr. Shepard saying, hey, listen, you know, fans want to be part of the show. What say you, and how do you deal with this in terms of in the entertainment field, whether you're talking to entertainers, whether you book entertainers in certain spaces, do you now have to give more thought to that?
I think that it's, well, first greetings and thank you for having me, and greetings to the other guests. I think there's been a consistent outbreak at comedy shows and especially comedy shows, because people get riled up, and especially at comedy clubs, there are two drink minimums. You have people drinking mm-hmm. on top of anything else mental they may be dealing with. And so I watched Steve tape years ago, a video years ago, in amazement. But he's always been athletic. I don't know if he remembers, but I remember him from the beginning of his career. And he was doing backflips and everything else back then. So I know he's always been agile. I would have been hit several times by the aggressor in me. I'm not that agile, but I think that in the age of sensationalism, as they both alluded to, the other guests alluded to, in the age of so much attention and almost honor being given to calamity and just the foolishness that social media thrives on, you know, it gives people ammunition to act out. And I also think the mention of Will Smith's incident, when you let stuff slide and you don't reprimand someone or there are no repercussions immediately as the action is happening, then it makes people, empowers people who have issues or who are, you know, desiring that level of attention to act out. In terms of security and things of that nature, I've always felt that there needs to be a heightened security at comedy, even at comedy shows, you know, where you might have anywhere from 200 to 500 people in attendance. I've personally seen people act out, but no one thought to record it. No one thought to put it on social media. In the last few years, there's been a rise in, you know, almost celebrating, you know, disaster. You know, so people want to see everything. You know, from the young person actually dying on an amusement park ride, showing the actual video of him falling. The ridiculousness of where we've become as a society wanting to see insanity. You know, and so since there's a rise in that, people are recording, people are sharing it. I think with the Dave Chappelle issue, there should have been better trained security at the perimeter of the stage, as well as his personal security, keeping an eye out. One of the things I've seen a rise in it with social media and just where entertainment is right now and how fans are getting real jobs where they're fanning out instead of doing their job. You know, I think that's one of the reasons Will Smith wasn't asked, are you having a stroke, sir? Why are you standing up doing a $1 million production? You know, why are you approaching the stage? Because everything is run like clockwork. No one checked him because they're fanning out also instead of doing their job.
202.
You know, and checking to see why you're interrupting this broadcast.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about fans becoming more part of the show, taking a more active role instead of a passive role in many of these athletic events and entertainment events. 202-319-7810. Let's go to the phone lines. Kevin is calling from Virginia. Go right ahead, Kevin, with your question or comment.
How are you doing this evening?
Good. How are you?
I just wanted to say that I totally agree with the persons that you have on and what the comedian first said. I do believe that so many people nowadays want that 15 minutes of fame. So now that everyone can record, everyone's posting, so many people are becoming hit singers and famous people from being on Instagram or TikTok. So people are doing a lot of these acts, I believe, in order to have their 15 minutes of fame, hopefully they could get known some other way. You know, they used to say, no matter what type of publicity, bad or good, it always ended up being good, as you were talked about.
Right. And so definitely. Thank you, Kevin. And social media, obviously, we are hearing that as a stream and a theme in this conversation already tonight. Thank you, Kevin, for your call. We're going to take a quick break, but don't forget you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum on our Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone line, stay right there. That includes you, Dave. We'll get to you. We're going to continue this conversation on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. Also, you can see the video of the incident we were talking about with comedian Steve Brown. Go to our website, WHUR.com. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on WHUR 96.3. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight, we are talking about what is happening with the public in terms of how it's dealing with entertainers and athletes at these public events. Dave Chappelle has someone rush the stage last week, comes in with a weapon that looks like a gun, opens up, it's actually a knife. Chappelle said it looked like the man was insane in his mind, but the man was not charged with any felony charges when this took place in California about a week and a half ago. Mike Tyson was attacked on a plane, water bottles thrown at him, according to Tyson's representative. Tyson had to put his hands on the man. Chris Paul's family, basketball player with the Phoenix Suns in the last several days, fans in Dallas apparently put hands on his mom while she was in the stands. So this is just some of the latest things that are going on with players and entertainers and fans. And why is this happening? So we're talking about that tonight. Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Shepard, when we talk about physical versus verbal, when we're looking at specifically, let's just say athletics, right? You get a lot of this stuff going on in the with the fans. They say a lot of things. But now it seems like players, athletes, are less likely to take that verbal abuse. I'll give an example. Kyrie Irving, several weeks ago, before his team was eliminated with the Brooklyn Nets, he was in Boston, played for them, for the Celtics, for about a year. Fans were harassing him very close to the court. And at some point, Kyrie, who's standing right near fans, puts up the bird, puts it behind his back, and flashes it at the fans. He ends up being fined $50,000. His response was, hey, we're human. You don't want us to respond. You don't want us to do anything. I know we're supposed to be above it, but shouldn't fans have some responsibility? Especially in sporting events, if fans are not touching players, should they be held responsible for what they say? Should they be responsible for what they say? We know they should be if they put their hands on someone.
Yes, they should be responsible for what they say. If you call me out of my name, but don't put your hands on me, yes, you should be held responsible. Verbal aggression in my field is just as bad as physical aggression. If you think about the children who I care for, actually, words do matter and words hurt. Actually, words will stick with someone longer than a physical assault or a physical act. So that gets into people's minds. It's like a rain, soaks in, gets into their crevices, and you'll remember what somebody said before even how they may have hit you, because that thing will stick with you. So I get it, and yes, they should be held responsible.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight, Dr. Jonathan Shepherd, a psychiatrist, and Charmel McMillan, entertainment executive and president of Chartown Entertainment. Back to the phone lines we go. Let's go to Dave calling from Germantown. Go right ahead, Dave, with your question or comment.
Yeah, hi.
Hello.
Thank you to give me an opportunity to speak out.
because a problem will come between Chris and Will Smith. It might be a setup. It might be a setup if the FBI need to investigate to find out who is behind, who pushed Chris Rock to attack Will Smith just to destroy our black community. Will Smith is a king for us in Africa. He's our king. Why they want to destroy him for? If they want to destroy him, we need him in Africa. And it always happened to our black community.
Well, thank you so much.
To investigate that and find out who is behind to destroy all black community star.
Well, thank you, Dave. Dave takes an interesting take on that. Remember now, though, Dave, what I would say is that Will Smith attacked Chris Rock. So if the FBI would get involved in that, it seemed like a sort of a cut and dry situation of what we saw with one entertainer attacking another. But Sharmell, when we're talking about entertainers, and you mentioned the issue of security, and especially for comedians, listen, we all know many comedians. I mean, if you are old enough, you remember some of these comedians like Don Rickles. I mean, his whole shtick was you attack the audience. You know, you pick out the weakest and you sort of go after them. And we still see that now in comedy. Do comedians now have to be more concerned about whether or not they want to even make that connection with an audience for fear of what might happen? And in the stories we've said so far, I mean, the Chris Rock thing was personal. Dave Chappelle seems like there was no connection to the guy coming on stage. But do you think comedians and maybe even some of the people you work with have to be more careful of any interaction they may have with their audience? And we could even be talking about singers, whether you just say anything while you're on stage.
The technical term for it is crowd work, you know, and so the intent is not to be malicious. And more seasoned veteran comedians aren't malicious in their conversation and their engagement with the audience. Sometimes, you know, when you're developing, you know, you may be more targeted or think it's funny to tease audience members, you know, ad nauseum. But it's really called crowd work. It's to keep them engaged. It's to develop a sense of, you know, unity in the room, you know, and get everybody laughing in good mood and then go into your material. That's what the goal should be. I think that they should be cautious about engaging with the audience to the extent that they also have to keep their head on a swivel now, because you have to look for any unexpected behavior, any unexpected movements. I mean, I've seen it firsthand happen. This is 26 years for me having an entertainment and sports management company. So I've seen it firsthand. People just quirk out. I don't know if it's because they had too much to drink. I don't know if it's a combination of that and mental issues. And so you have all of that, even on comedy clubs, like I said, 500 people, much less 18,000 when we start playing arenas and the comedy tours and other tours, like Dave Chappelle doing the whole. That's one of the largest venues, period.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about the public coming a little too close in terms of being involved in the show, accosting, abusing, physically attacking entertainers and athletes. Let's go back to the phone lines, and Lady Nicole is calling from the district. Go right ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, hello, everybody. I'm glad we're having this discussion. I'm Lady Nicole from Washington, D.C., and I'm a homegrown comedian right here in the D.C. area. And I also work as a Injustice Youth Mentor. So on that Sunday after the Oscars, I was really disturbed, not only as a black person, a black woman, a black mother, and a black comedian. Because Chris Rock, you are a veteran. You had way much more material you could have pulled from. And it's not like Chris Rock really said something disrespectful about Jada Pinkett, but it's the fact that we don't know what people are dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So as a comedian, I think that we should. I don't believe in roasting. Now, I will roast you if I'm triggered, but I don't roast just to hurt people's feelings. And they come to see me, they paid their money to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not about to make them laugh at their own expense.
So this is a comedian. So it's just a stylistic thing, right? Because, again, Chris Rock's not the first to do it.
And it's
very common. And you tell me if I'm wrong, Lady Nicole. And I don't want to stereotype, but it's very common to see that among black comedians, right? You hit the audience, it's like, hey, you know, that dress you're wearing or that hat, what's up with them gaiters that you got on? Or dot, 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 right? So wouldn't you say that it's not an uncommon thing among comedians? So this isn't just particular to Chris Rock, correct?
It is not. And like I said, Chris Rock really didn't say anything disrespectful. I mean, I don't understand why G.I. Jane couldn't have been sexy. I mean, in my mind, you know, that comment could have went, she didn't have to take it negative, but in still, Will Smith had no right, even though words do hurt, and we have got to admit that as a people, words do hurt, but it does not give you the right to physically put your hands and hurt somebody because they chose words that you didn't like.
Well, thank you so much, Lady Nicole, and
thank you,
and great luck on your career.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much. Dr. Shepherd, I know we only have a few more moments with you before you have to leave us. You talked about the effects that words can have, especially on young people that you deal with. As a psychiatrist, what do you think the effects of this increase in the public's sort of being involved in these events in ways in which they shouldn't be? What kind of effect psychologically does that have on those public performers? Does it, do you believe?
Yeah, I mean, it really does. It has a strong impact because our children are sponges and they pick up what we do and what we say and how we behave. You may not think that little Johnny's watching you even at 5, 6 months old, but let me tell you, children are watching from birth.
But Dr. Shepherd, let me rephrase that because I think I may not have been clear. I mean was the effect that it has on the entertainers, the athletes, whoever is out there, when they know now this is something that they have to be concerned about because you have copycat situations. And so my question is, what kind of an effect do you think it would have on them? Or do you think this is something they've been trained to be used to? Or can you get used to that? You're out on the stage, whatever that stage may be, whether it's sports, whether, again, it's in some kind of entertainment situation where you're a comedian, singer, anything. How does it affect them, the entertainer, in your opinion?
I got you. Okay, yeah. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
To go. It definitely does also impact the entertainer, too. Because now they have to be careful on how they're going to manage their performance, whether it be an athlete, whether it be a comedian, as we've already heard. One of the things that I have delved into is how my field of psychiatry can impact, like, for instance, sports. So there's a whole field called sports psychiatry. And it's very important not just to deal with the mental health issues of the athlete, but they look at how to respond to rambunctious or rude or just totally out of order people in the stands, in the audience. And so let me tell you, what happens now is if people don't talk about it, who's a part of the entertainment world, they're going to now be more anxious. It may even affect the performance to where they used to be a little bit more relaxed. But now they're always giddy, and it could literally dampen their performance. I've seen where athletes, when they're more anxious, they don't perform to the highest level that they're able to do. It may affect the quality of their performance. So one of the things that I would encourage those entertainers, the athletes, is to team up with a mental health organization where they can talk through some of these things, go through some scenarios, see how they'll be able to handle the out-of-order fans so that it will not negatively impact their performance or even their team.
He is Dr. Jonathan Shepherd, a psychiatrist. We thank you so much, Dr. Shepherd, for being with us and adding your expertise to this important conversation. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you, sir.
Sharmell McMillan is going to stay with us, and you are too. Phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're going to take a timeout, but we'll be right back. This is the Insight segment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment, and tonight we're talking about fans becoming part of the show when they're not supposed to be part of the show. When fans are rushing the stage, when fans are accosting, attacking entertainers, verbally abusing athletes, throwing soda, beer, popcorn, spitting even on occasion on athletes who are on the court, especially those who are close to them, throwing things out on the baseball field, which we saw at Yankee Stadium last week. So a lot, it seems to be happening now where more interaction between fans and entertainers, interaction that is more often than not, not wanted. Phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sharmell, let me ask you this. Do you think that entertainers will now stray away from, say, meet and greet sessions when they're on the road? Would you encourage them not to do that now that we see kind of what's been happening? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, in terms of the meet and greet sessions that are held after concerts and after, you know, various performances, there's actually better security and watch and control during those events than there is when the person is on stage and the audience members have probably ascertained that they may be defenseless, especially at comedy clubs, you know, because security may be all the way at the door if you have a 400 or 500 seater, you know, and not in close proximity, you know. So security and as well as their personal security are right there when they're doing meet and greet. So it's probably a safer environment to engage with fans, to have the quick picture or the quick, you know, handshake without them being able to, you know, attack the entertainer. If I could just briefly, I wanted to point out the perspective of the last caller. And when fans and people who love the entertainers speak on these events, it's from a very biased standpoint and not an industry standpoint of what really is going on. With the Oscars, that's a different type of scenario. One, they're both entertainers. Two, the history of the Oscars is to highlight the A-listers in a joking way, in a, you know, kind of...
Because we saw Letterman. They all did it. Billy Crystal, yes, David Letterman,
yes,
right.
That's what they do to lighten the mood of the stuffiness of that event. They realize it's an extremely stuffy event. What people don't realize is when you get to these award shows, you are there 4 or 5 hours early.
Right,
it
Sharmell,
doesn't start when the people start seeing it.
Right, let me ask you this, and hold that thought, because I don't want to forget this, because you make such a good point when we're talking about, if you really go back... You know, Billy Crystal would go after all of the entertainers, David Letterman, whoever's been the host. So do you think, and, you know, we don't want to have to sort of go back over the whole Chris Rock, Will Smith issue, but it does have legs here in this sense. Then do you think that it did have some racial undertones in terms of the criticism that Chris Rock was criticizing a black woman who had lost her hair, and how hair, we know it's so close to just women, but especially for black women. So if on the one hand, we know, as you mentioned, look, at the Oscars, this is what happens. And so if Chris Rock then does that and we go, this is what happens, why was his deemed different?
Well, let me first point out that Chris Rock was up there to present an award. And those transition lines and things that little whippersnappers that they say as they present awards are written for them. They're reading teleprompters. The difference is when Chris Rock's
actually hosted the Oscars. I was there in Hollywood. I watched him personally get ready. He would jump, stop by comedy clubs, the Laugh Factory, the Comedy Store, and he would do 10, 15 minutes getting ready to host. That is where they have some levity to do a monologue.
Mm-hmm.
The other transition lines on award shows are written for them. That's why they're reading teleprompters. And the writers think it would be funny to pick this A-lister. They're highlighting them, letting people know they're there. They're hyping up the show and also creating levity because it's a stuffy event.
Mm-hmm.
So people keep trying to put the onus on Chris Rock. And those little lines are written for them. The little quirky lines they say at every single award show are written
but
for
I
them.
Thought,
They're
but
not
I,
the host.
I thought the contestation was that those lines he delivered weren't written for him. I think that's the issue, that he ad-libbed those, correct?
I'm not sure about him ad-libbing those, but I know he was just there to present an award. And
right.
Typically, those lines are written for them. And also, it wasn't a slight at her or her hair loss or anything else. I mean, Demi Moore was an amazing actress in that role, and to even be compared to her, you know, it was just an awesome thing to be compared to her in a sequel. And that's what the Academy was doing in highlighting Jada and then going after other people and saying things and trying to keep the levity.
Got you. Now, you mentioned we were talking about security somewhere that came up here in the conversation. And if entertainers, athletes, and again, they're entertainers too, right? So entertainers is a very broad term that we're using. If entertainers have to say have more security, then we're also talking about financial bottom lines that all of this stuff is affecting. Is that something that has to be talked about, that's part of the conversation, or is that just something, okay, this is just part of the deal and we just have to do it? Or does that become a major conversation piece?
You're asking about security being
yes.
added into contracts with a writer for venues?
Or just entertainers now having to spend more money for more security. Does that become an issue of conversation, or is it just, well, this is kind of what comes with it? If that's what we have to do, then that's just what we have to do.
Well, there are two levels of security. There's venue security, whether you're talking about comedy clubs, they have their own internal security. Some of them are actually, you know, retired or off-duty officers. Some of them are just guys who look like they can handle themselves at comedy clubs. At venues, you have a mix also of security. Some of them are, you know, former or current police officers, you know, moonlighting or whatever, and they are on the front line of security, and they should be paying attention to the crowd, any subtle movements. That should be ongoing. Sometimes they're not, because they're hiring starstruck people who get to see the show for free, unfortunately, and they're not paying attention to sudden movements and protecting the person on stage by at all costs. The other level of security is personal security, part of the entourage that protects the entertainer as they're entering venues, as they're leaving venues. They're off to the side, but there should be a perimeter around that stage of security, making sure no one is accessible to the entertainer. No one should have been able to touch Dave Chappelle, period. Much less get on stage.
All right, so we got a whole issue at the Hollywood Bowl in terms of security there.
Everywhere in terms of security, because that can start happening everywhere. And when you don't nip it in the bud, Will Smith is not a fan. You know, I think people underestimate. I said this on another interview I had recently. People underestimate the full capacity of entertainers to lose their mind at any given moment.
Hmm.
They think they're beyond human, and they're not. They're more human than most. And so I think he's been having a virtual meltdown for a while.
Hmm.
If you pay attention to the public scrutiny that he's been under, his marriage and everything else, I think he's been on a virtual meltdown for a while. And that was just the night.
Well, then, and then obviously if we go beyond the public person like Will Smith acting out, and then we're just talking about the average person, you know, I think your assessment even can be added to them. We just don't know sort of what a lot of these people are going through, what they're dealing with, why they're acting out. Even the fan, you know, at a basketball game that decides to throw a beer on a player, you know, what's happening in your life and what's going on. So I think that's what
anything goes.
Yeah,
people feel like anything goes. I can do what I want to do. And I think social media and the sensationalism around it perpetuates that for the average Joe. You know, Well, if Will Smith can jump up there and do what he feels like, I can do it. But people have been doing it before Will Smith, jumping up
right
on stage and saying, having something
great point
to say.
That's right. I'm glad
having
you
something to say.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Out. They used to yell out because
right
they didn't know they could get up.
Mm-hmm.
Until they started seeing other people get up. We can get up. I know I can get up and say something. Now they're doing it too.
And that's where
they
we
used to just yell out.
Right. That's where we get in the copycat. Yeah. Back in with,
yes,
in the club, you just kind of knew, okay, let me go back and forth. And once you saw, okay, wait a minute, I can't deal with Robin Harris. Let me back off of that.
Right.
But to your point, you didn't get up on the stage. In our last couple of minutes, share with me if you're hearing kind of what the sense is, what the conversation is around this topic in the entertainment world. Is it a conversation that is continuing, or folks got more important things to do and it's really not something that you all in your business are really talking about all the time?
No, I mean, yes, being talked about. I've spoken online and offline with clients and friends. George Wallace and I had an extensive conversation about it after the incident happened, and comedians really were offended at the fact that nothing was done to Will Smith and he was allowed to attack a fellow comedian.
Mm.
That's what comedians are seeing.
Mm.
Like, he was, you let it slide, basically. And then after the fact, a week, 2 weeks later, oh, he can't come back. No, something should have been done right there as an example of this is not what you do. This is not what you do.
Sure.
I don't care who you are. This is not what you do.
Sharmell,
you know?
Oh, I'm sorry, Sharmell. Go right ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, I was just saying that that's kind of the state of the industry right now, where it is a continuous conversation of this shouldn't be happening. It's going to be happening more and more. And that's what the prevailing thought was of comedians, especially. Oh, my God, a floodgate was just opened. That's what they thought.
Sharmell McMillan, entertainment executive and president of Chartown Entertainment. Sharmell, in our last couple of seconds, if folks want to find you, how can they do so?
You can follow me on Instagram at Chartown, Chartown, as in Nancy, Chartown, ENT, on really all platforms, YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook, Chartown Entertainment, Chartown, ENT.
All right. And Dr. Jonathan Shepherd, thank you for being with us, and the same for comedian Steve Brown and all of you who called in and have listened. That's the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, May 10th. I'm Bramante Bryant, and for Harold Fisher, have a great night.